Good morning, or buenos dias. It is the Cinco de Mayo. It is the 5th of May, 2016, and you have tuned in to the KRFY Morning Show. Thank you for joining us today with Jack and Chris in the studio here. We are joined by one past president, one current president, and one future president of the Sandpoint chapter of the Rotary Club today in the studio. But before we get into conversation with them, let's talk a little bit about the weather. And now I turn the page to the weather. Today, another warm day for the season, a high of 71 degrees, but showers are likely, and then a chance of thunderstorms this afternoon, possible after 2 p.m. We could have some small and gusty winds. Again, the high is near 71, down to 47 tonight. Mostly cloudy tonight, but mostly sunny tomorrow, and then through the weekend, looking pretty good all weekend long, into at least into Mother's Day, the evening of Mother's Day. Highs in the 70s, sunny, slight chance of showers on Sunday afternoon and evening. And well, there you go. That's the weather. And good morning, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Jack. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
I'm very well, thank you. I wanted to throw out something that's happening today along with Cinco de Mayo. It's Idaho Gives Day, and this is actually a statewide event that's going on whereby nonprofit groups around the state are benefiting from donations. We have a number here that are here in Sandpoint that are benefiting as well. And to take part in this, go to idahogives.org, and you can find local charitable groups that are signed up for this program. It's run through a statewide organization, and the governor, Butch Otter, and quite a number of state officials are supporting this as well. Some of the groups that are signed up through Idaho Gives are the Sandpoint Area Seniors, the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint, the Idaho Conservation League, which has a local chapter, the North Idaho High School Aerospace Program. That's a new group. Actually, they have a new website, I happen to know, that's got a ton of information about them, and the Bonner Community Food Center. So there are a ton of good local groups that could be supported today on Idaho Gives Day.
There's a couple events in town, right?
And there are events in town, is right. One of them is tonight at the Idaho Poor Authority, the Selkirk Outdoor Leadership and Education Group is sponsoring this event. It'll be from 4 p.m. until 8 p.m. And it's an opportunity to come enjoy some of the great craft beer that they have at Idaho Poor Authority. There'll be local music. There'll be a raffle. And it will be a fundraiser for Soul as part of Idaho Gives Day. And there's also a Cinco de Mayo Idaho Gives Party in Hope at the Memorial Community Center. And this is going to be an evening event from 5:30 until 8:30 p.m. There'll be a great dinner, a lot of opportunities to do donations. And if you're interested in that, you can call 264-5481.
Sounds like a gas. Idaho Gives is, we have had them in actually to talk in the past. I'm sure you can find that podcast on our website, krfy.org, if you're interested in learning a little bit more in depth about it, or like you said, go to idahogives.org.
Idahogives.org. Yeah, yeah. Today's the day to do it. They're raising money right now. There's, I can't see the result right now, but they actually have a ticker going that shows how much money is being raised statewide for charitable groups.
It is a cool idea that give it all on one day and it just goes to everybody. That's
yes.
Nice.
Actually, I just pulled the ticker up. Total donations as of this moment are $295,628. And that's spread out over dozens of charitable groups across the state. So
wow,
it's a good effort.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, it's still early in the morning.
Yeah.
Well, good morning. Good morning, Dinah Wall, the incoming president of the Sandpoint Rotary Club. Indeed. And good morning to Pierce Smith, the current president of the Sandpoint Rotary Club.
Good morning, Jack and Chris.
And good morning to Steve Verby, the most immediate past president. Am I correct on that?
You are. And good morning to both of you.
I was saying right before the show, I was surprised that we've never had you in before, but what is Rotary Club in general? This is directed to anyone.
You go, Steve.
Yeah. Okay.
Steve does this very well.
Rotary is a group of leaders in every community that join together to try to do good things. We have fun.
That's for sure.
But also our motto for Rotary is service above self. And that's the prime mover for people to be involved in Rotary, to make changes in each community, in each state, and throughout the world.
So give us a little bit of history about the group. It's not just a national group. It's an international organization. You have chapters all around the world.
Rotary now has over 34,000 clubs in over 200 countries. And we have 1.2 million members. Sandpoint Rotary was the 251st club to be chartered in the world.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So when did it start? I thought it started
in 1905 in Evanston, Illinois.
Okay.
With four people. Yeah, there were four members, and the key driver behind it was a fellow named Paul Harris. And when they set up the Rotary Foundation, which is the charitable side of Rotary, if you give $1,000 to the foundation, you get a Paul Harris Fellowship, and there's different levels. Every $1,000 raises it up. But from those four people, now we're at 1.2 million people, and the motto is service above self. I always get it wrong. I say service before self, and I'm the president of the club. But the thing, my favorite part of what really sort of establishes what Rotary is the four-way test, and as a way of sort of living not just your life, your personal life, as well as your professional life. And if you'll excuse me for reading it.
Oh, sure.
But the four-way test is, of the things we think, say, or do, is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? And will it be beneficial to all concerned? And this was actually adopted by Rotary, I think, in the 1930s. It was written by a labor attorney that was involved in a massive strike at some company back in the Midwest. And things were so fractious at the company, he came up and goes, well, this is how we're going to approach this. Rotary saw that and adopted it as their own. So, I mean, that's one of my favorite parts about Rotary.
And so these are principles that you try to carry out and personalize every day. It's not just when you get together at a meeting and say, this is actually the individual's responsibility.
It's personal, but also professionally. Because, mm-hmm. We got started as a business organization.
And that's what makes it comfortable for Rotarians around the world to visit each other. You know, Rotarians have this common bond of how they try to live their lives and how they try to conduct themselves in business. And, you know, if you can go to any town, I mean, I even saw, a Rotary symbol at this little isolated town I went to in Mexico one time. And you can just show up for lunch and you know that you're, among kindred spirits, because we've got women and men. We have people of all ages. Our youngest member is 32. Our oldest is 95. And we have about 35% women. And that's really good because I think worldwide it's about 20%. So it's a club that's very diverse as far as, what our classifications are, as far as what we do for a living. Sitting right here, you have arts administration, judicial, and finance, and there's all sorts of different classifications in our club. And yet we all feel kindred, akin to each other because of our feeling about doing something for our communities and how we try to live.
And so we're actually coming up on a big date for you guys, the local Rotary Club, right. I should say. Mm-hmm. And that is, it's your 50th anniversary.
We are celebrating our 50th anniversary, which is May 12th, and we're having a dinner gala on May 14th over at Tango Cafe. It'll be in the lobby of the bank building.
So, can you give us a little bit of what's the story? What's the founding story for the local chapter? Where did it come from?
Well, what happened? Actually, Rotarians from the Spokane Valley and Coeur d'Alene came up, and there were 22 charter members at the time, and two of those are still alive, Jack Parker and Dar Cogswell. So, I mean, they've been in the club 50 years. And Dar was one of the first people that was approached. And he goes, these three guys walked into my office, one of whom was an FBI agent from Spokane. And he goes, well, and he was a lawyer. He goes, well, I'm in trouble. And they said, well, we want you to set up a Rotary Club in Sandpoint. And so they were the catalyst for to get the thing started. It probably took about 6 to 8 months for them to get everything in place where they got the charter from International.
And Dar at that time was a judge, right?
No,
he was still a lawyer.
Yeah, he was a lawyer. That was before he became a judge.
He was like 36 years old, and Jack Parker was 33 when they joined the club, and they've been in it continuously, which is pretty cool. And Wally Staglin was the first president. And he was a big community member. And how many people were in the club at the very beginning?
There were 22 at first.
Oh, 22, okay.
And then what happened, so all these people got on board, and you had to have at least 15 members to be considered a viable club. Well, they lost about 10 of the members in the first 6 months. And
just because they dropped out.
They kind of got into it. Like, well, I don't know if this is for me or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they steadily built it back up. So, I mean, they stayed viable. And now we've actually... spawned, I don't know if spawn's the right word, but the Rotary Club in Ponderay, that's a spinoff from here, as is the club up in Bonner's Ferry. Because for a long time, we were the only North Idaho panhandle Rotary Club, except for Coeur d'Alene. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do those charter members still make appearances at your meetings?
Oh, they do. Yeah. I mean, they're just there. They're there all the time. You know, and they've been such great contributors to the community. Jack Parker was chairman of the hospital for, I don't know, 35 or 40 years.
Almost 50 years too. Yeah.
And the bank, too.
And the bank.
Panhandle State Bank.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he's been involved in everything. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's great. And, you know, it's funny, last night I was at dinner, and this friend of mine, she asked me, she goes, well, why would anyone join Rotary? Why Rotary? I said, well, if you want to give something to your community and participate, well, Rotary sort of has that structure set up. You know that they're going to be involved in community projects and things that are going to help. And so it's an easy way to go in and get started doing that. Plus, you all also really develop great friendships. I mean, I consider Dino and Steve really good friends. I've only been in the club for 6 years now. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there are people that are longtime friends. And one of the most moving parts for me is we do this thing called Happy Bucks, where people stand up and they throw a dollar in.
Your weekly meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the weekly meetings. They'll say, well, I'm happy because, you know, it's my 30th wedding anniversary. And I'll say, well, chip in $30. And
that happens sometimes.
But they'll sort of share what's going on with their lives. But some of the most touching ones, it was one of the first meetings I was at, and one of the members got up and he gave a report on his son's cancer. And you think, oh my God. And you just don't, it was just amazing. But everyone was just so happy when his son's fully recovered now from it. So, I mean, it's just very touching. So, and it's a close-knit group. So it's a good group.
And, you know, there are various reasons why people are into Rotary. I mean, some people love the international aspect of it. There's lots of chances to travel and do these different exchanges. Some are exchanges that have a medical purpose or some sort of a social amelioration. But some of it is just for fun. And we also welcome people. Like last year, we had a bunch of people from Thailand come to Sandpoint. And it was right during the Chafe bike ride. Steve was president and hosted them, and it was just really fun they didn't speak very good English really, but it was a wonderful exchange just because we knew they're Rotarians, so we kind of know, okay, we know what your DNA is, your social DNA is, you know, even though you're from this faraway place.
And my wife and I have hosted now I think 7 different groups from outside the United States. 3 from Australia, 1 from England, 1 from New Zealand, 1 from Thailand.
Yeah.
And they usually come in groups of 10. This last group was 12. And so we have members host these people from outside the area, and they come and stay with us and see our part of life. And then we, in turn, get to go to their country and see their way of life. So it's an amazing, amazing opportunity. Unfortunately, because of time constraints, my wife and I have not been able to go on another group friendship exchange to another country, but we're looking forward to
but
doing
we
it.
We do have one member right now who's in France, Angela Oakes. She's on an exchange there. And then the youth part of it, we have a youth exchange, Rotarian exchange from France this year. Mel Platon, she's at the Sandpoint High School. And next year, we have three kids that are going to on Rotary Exchange. They're going to foreign countries. I think Chile, Sweden, and
Germany.
Yeah.
And so in exchange, you're staying in other folks' mm-hmm. their homes, right?
Right.
In, other Rotarian mm-hmm. Members. Uh-huh.
Well, but with the exchange students, you don't have to be a Rotarian to be a host family for an exchange student. But we went several years where we didn't have any exchange students, and this year we got Mel, who's from France, and we have the three outbounds. And so since we have three outbounds, we're going to have three inbounds. So we have a student from, I think, Taiwan is coming, and then two girls that I'm not, I think they're from Europe, but I don't know the exact countries. Mm-hmm. So it'll be kind of fun. So we have to find host families for them. And they usually spend 3 months at a time with a host family, then they change families.
Mm-hmm. Do they work on, during the exchange, are there particular charitable projects that get worked on in the exchange communities?
Well, they're actually in school.
For the young ones.
For the young ones at Sandpoint High School. The ones that Steve was talking about, those are called Rotary Friendship Exchanges. And they're really just going and visiting. And sometimes if there's a project, they might work on it. So, but I remember last year with the folks from Thailand, you set up all this sightseeing stuff and things.
But they came and helped and worked on the chase.
Oh, they did. Yeah. They worked on chase. But then they said, well, we really just want to go shopping.
they helped at an aid station, handed out drinks, food, when the riders came in. So it was great for us to be able to have that opportunity to show them one of our service projects that we do.
This was the first time you've had other exchange groups, but this was the first time they didn't speak English as a first language.
That's true, right? I think.
No,
not quite.
Yeah.
Well, they're the Australians.
At least from my perspective, I guess.
We had some folks from India. I did not host them.
Okay.
But
how was that experience for you as the host, having the...
It was great. Yeah. I mean, it took me a while to get used to the accent because I was puzzling. But if I spoke slowly and clearly, then everything was okay from their end. They were better at understanding than speaking. But when there's friends and there's new friends, you find a way to communicate.
Yeah. What does what are you guys up to here locally? I saw a list of some of the projects online.
It's huge. The list is long. And sometimes it's very obvious because, like in the case of some of the projects we've done that are bricks and mortar type projects, you see the Rotary wheel and you know that Rotary's been involved, like on the bandshell at Farman Park or at the stairs that go down to the boardwalk or the we did a lot of work on the Ponderay Bay Trail and that whole retaining wall sitting wall when at the trailhead there's a Rotary symbol there because we did that but other things that we touch are not things that you can see but they are reach into the community and things like being involved in the hunger and literacy. I'll let these guys explain a little bit of that because that was during their terms that I think that we did a lot of good things.
Well, you asked about when we first got started 50 years ago and Dar Coxo was talking to us and he said, somehow in our first year we glommed together $300 so we could give out a scholarship. Well, this year we've budgeted to give out $16,000 in scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
And for our club, it's something new. We're teaming with the Ponderay Club on vocational scholarships, and we're hoping to be able to kind of double the number of those that are available and working closely with Ponderay. They have something, they're a great club, and they do some terrific things. But anyway, so stuff that we've done is in terms of food, food for our children and the Bonner Community Food Bank. We funded both of them early on in the year so the backpack program could be expanded. And that's been very successful.
And Pierce, could you tell them a little bit about what the backpack program is?
The backpack program is what they do for children that are on the free lunch program and stuff, over the weekends, they may not have anything to eat at home. So they get backpacks that have enough food in them to get them through the weekend. And then they bring the backpack in on Monday, and on Friday it's filled up and they take it home again. And so, but they're trying, you actually need to talk to Dennis Pence more about that. And also probably Debbie Love.
Yes. They work on food for our children in the, right. the community food and bank. They,
right.
But I'll throw in, it's actually a rather significant number of kids that need this help.
It is.
It's amazing.
It's shockingly high.
We were shocked, not only the kids that are hungry, but also the lack of literacy and the ownership of books. There are a lot of homes, you know, that don't have any books in them. And so this next project, the literacy project, it makes sure that kids can order books every month. They have a budget to order books. And we sponsored that in all first grade classes.
I'm sorry, Dinah.
No, go ahead.
So this is the Book Trust. Village Green is a private foundation and they're funding the Book Trust. They had gotten started, I think, two years ago on this to get books to first and second graders. And the program's kind of cool because every month the kids get to order the books that they want. They're given a $7 budget. So they learn a lot of different important things like managing your money and setting priorities and stuff. So they can buy their books with this $7, then once a month the books get delivered. And we got some really cute thank you notes because we sponsored the first and second grade at Hope Elementary. And that was just members within the club that thought it was a great idea. And so we got some really cute letters, really interesting. It's this one little girl wrote and she's writing and she goes, oh, I love this because, you know, I can see my little ponies and I can be anywhere I want in the world and things like that. And this little boy writes that he goes, I love Superman and Batman and they're the best type of thing. So, but that's great. So if it's going to get him reading, that's mm-hmm. terrific. So what we've done this year, they have things called district grants. Within Rotary, you have the global Rotary, then you have zones, and then in zones, you have districts. So we're in District 5080. And so they'll match funds for projects that you can turn them in. So what we've done, we're going to raise $5,000 from the club and from members. And then they're going to match, and hopefully they're going to match it. So we'll have $10,000 and we can expand the program to the third grade. And this is through the entire Lake Pendre School District. And so we're working on that. And Steve, do you want to talk about maybe the international stuff?
I'd be happy to, but I'm not sure when you need to take a break.
Well, we could take a short break and then return. Divide this conversation between local and international. Seems like an appropriate time to take a break, right? Little musical quiz for those in the room. 50 years ago today, since we're celebrating your 50th anniversary, mm-hmm. what was at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 charts? What was the single?
And we're looking at you, Dino.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Maybe something by the Beatles. Huh?
In 1966.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe I Want to Hold Your Hand or something. I don't know.
That was 1963.
Oh, 63. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I just saw something on that, but I can't remember.
Okay.
It was Mamas and the Papas.
Oh.
California Dreaming?
No. Monday.
Monday. Oh. Yeah.
So we'll hear a little from
Thursday.
Yeah, on Thursday. We'll hear a little Monday right now, and okay. we will be right back with more from the Rotary Club after this. The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing KRFY.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource. We're back. That was the Mamas and the Papas. You're listening to the KRFY Morning Show in conversation with Steve Verby, Pierce Smith, and Dino Wall from the Sandpoint chapter, Rotary Club number 251 from here in Sandpoint. The Mamas and the Papas with Monday, that was, incidentally, the second song in a row to be at number one on the Hot 100 that has a false ending in it, where they stop the song, it's quiet, and and then it comes back. And the previous one was Good Lovin' by the Young Rascals, also has a false ending. That's the only time that's ever occurred in the history of the chart. Mm-hmm. Two false endings.
And still a great song 50 years later.
Yeah, indeed. Little trivia for you there.
Well, thank you, Jack.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I actually have some trivia for you because I went to the Mamas and Papas concert.
Oh, really?
I grew up in Southern California, so I went down to this theater in the round that was down in Orange County. Mm-hmm. And so the Mom and Papas were there. Oh, this is really cool. Well, then they had this opening act. And after they were finished, we thought, well, these guys were pretty good. Well, it was Simon and Garfunkel. And no one knew who they were. But they were pretty good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. What year did you hear that concert from Mama's
That
Papas?
Was probably 65 or 66.
Yeah.
So I was actually, this is the 50th anniversary of me graduating from high school. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had to go to late high school. Yeah. I got that GED, damn it. Bleep me.
Yeah.
He's like Doogie Howser. He's really very much younger than that.
Yeah. We were, what were we going to talk about?
We were going to all sorts of international activities by the Rotary Club.
That's right.
And Steve Verby, tell us what the Rotary Club does internationally and how the local club even connects to that.
Internationally, the biggest project that Rotary is known for is starting the campaign to eliminate polio worldwide. And that started in 1979 and then was joined by other, the World Health Organization, UNICEF, other countries, beginning in a conglomerate in 1985. Since that time, Rotarians have given over $1.5 billion to eliminate polio. And most recently, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has entered into the funding of the elimination of polio. Bill and Melinda Gates now will double whatever Rotary raises, up to $35 million each year to eliminate polio. And so the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has given hundreds of millions of dollars in the past 5 years.
And so how close are we to eliminating polio at this point?
Well, to make this have an exclamation point, first I have to go back. 1985, when this international group got together to eliminate polio, there were over 1,000 cases per day that were being reported for children throughout the world who were contracting polio. Now, we are down to two countries in the world that have polio, and that is Pakistan, who has the most, and Afghanistan, who is second. Only recently, in 2014, was the third country, Nigeria, in Africa, became polio-free. And when I say polio-free, we have to wait 2 years to get an indication as to whether or not they truly are polio-free. So we are down to two countries. A year ago, there were 360 reported cases. This year, so far, as of the most recent tally, March 7th of 2016, there were six cases reported in Pakistan and one case reported in Afghanistan. Now, when there is polio that still exists, the fight goes on. You'd think, well, geez, there's not that many cases. But every year there are hundreds and thousands of babies that are born. So Rotary has to go in and, along with our partners, immunize all the new people that are born.
In those countries where this still occurs?
Still around the world.
Okay. Because babies in the U.S. get polio vaccinations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of people say, well, what's next? You know, and because Rotary has other projects too, other areas of interest, and certainly clean water is one of them. That's a huge deal that Rotary goes in and does projects that provide clean water in communities, and also maternal health women's health is a big issue. Because they think, okay, if the moms are healthy, then the kids are going to be healthier.
And plus literacy worldwide.
Yeah, literacy is a big one too. Yeah.
and peace and conflict resolution.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What, I'm just curious, and maybe this is the wrong group to ask, but once if the number gets down to zero in terms of polio, is it basically gone? I mean, I don't know how polio is even.
If we get down to zero, and we've got zero for 2 years, we consider that polio probably has been defeated.
Wow!
And it'll be the second time worldwide that a disease has been eradicated.
Yeah.
And
smallpox being the other.
Smallpox being the other. Now you were asking, what is our local club doing?
Yeah.
So we contribute in a number of different ways. We have on each table in our Rotary meetings, we have a plastic jar that's for the elimination of polio, and it's called Change for Change. So people put in their change, which includes $1 bills, sometimes $5 bills, and that then goes directly to the Rotary International Foundation for the elimination of polio. Plus, there's also gifts that are being given by individuals. So, for example, I contributed to the Paul Harris Fellowship, and I denominated that gift of $1,000 directly for polio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You did mention some of the other projects you're involved in. Now, I guess what's the relationship between the Sandpoint chapter and then Rotary International? Like, are you guys on the phone with other Rotary clubs around the world, or do you get a news? I don't know.
Actually, there's a lot of collaboration on the international side of things. One of our members, Nancy Lewis, she's a member here, and then she's a snowbird. She goes down to Mexico during the winter, and she's a member of a local Rotary club down in Ixtapa. And we've done joint programs with that Rotary club in Mexico probably over the last 10 years. And last year, we helped to fund $5,000 for women's health clinic prenatal care, because mm-hmm. they didn't have any sonar scan. Or sonar, is that the thing?
Where sonograms. Sonograms, yeah.
They didn't have that. They would use a horn that the doctor would put on the mother's belly to see if he could hear the heartbeat and stuff like that. So we got them we helped them outfit some of the equipment and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we're working with them this year. We've asked for another grant that's going to be about $10,000 in total for a facility that trains disabled people with physical and mental disabilities, to teach them one of the things is going to be cooking, how to do cooking so they can become productive members of their society and have a better life for themselves. So we do that in Mexico. We did a Children's Heart Hospital project in India. I mean, we didn't do the whole thing. It was probably a $300,000 project, but we put in $5,000. And we actually got several other Rotary clubs in the area, the five that are sort of in northern Idaho, and they all sort of chipped in $1,000 each. And
what's kind of cool is our district, you know, we talked about our district. Our district has about 60 clubs in it. And we actually have our district conference in Coeur d'Alene this weekend. That's once a year. But we have clubs in Canada. Our district is both an American and a Canadian. It goes across the border. So, you know, we have clubs in our district that are all the way up to NACUSP and you know, way up there. And then it goes down to the Tri-Cities area and everything in between. So that's kind of fun that, you know, not all of the Rotary districts are, you know, two countries. And so we hang out with a lot of Canadians, and they're a lot of fun too.
So you're involved in a ton of charitable projects.
Yes.
Both locally and also internationally. How do you decide which projects to take on?
Well, we get lots of requests for money, and we have a board of directors. And the way things are set up, like we have the past, present, and future presidents, and we keep that so you have some continuity and purpose sometimes if you're having a long-term project like the Farm and Bandstand cover. And so we'll present these things to the board. I mean, you set up your budget, and then you say, well, does this fit in? Is this something we want to get involved with, or is it a viable project, whatever? So, you know, and that was one of the things we went through for the backpack program, Food for Our Children and stuff, because, you know, they were brand new. I thought, well, you know, is this something we want to participate in? And we met with Dennis Pence. He did a presentation at our lunch, and we said, yeah, we should go through it. I mean, because it was shocking when you found out how many children mm-hmm. have that free food program.
And then sometimes there's an immediate need that comes up that we haven't anticipated, like we sent a shelter box to Ecuador after, you know, sometimes when there's natural disasters, like last year it was Nepal, and we send these shelter boxes and they have, you know, these four-room tents that have food and cooking utensils and games for kids to play and you know, it's a remarkable thing to send to an area that needs it, you know, that where they've been hit by some natural disaster. So those kind of things come up and we have contingency in the budget to be able to decide to act on things like that. But a lot of it requires a lot of planning to execute, like Pierce was saying, certain projects that take a really long time.
And the year before, Dino, we'd sent three shelter boxes to Nepal.
Right, that's right.
And we had budgeted those in advance, mm-hmm. anticipating that there's going to be some worldwide disaster that there's going to be a need.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both those areas were hit by major earthquakes, right. Mm-hmm. Ecuador and Nepal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, on the subject of international cooperation, well, actually, let's back up a little bit. You do have one big event coming up in June. It's that's connected with also a charitable giving project. That's the CHAFE 150 bike right. ride. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that comes up on June 18th, and you can go to the website, which I think is chafe150.org, and register. And it's a 150-mile ride. I keep calling it a race, and I kept getting slapped down for that. It's a ride. You're not competing except with yourself and the clock. And so there's 150 miles, and everything starts and ends at City Beach. There's 80 miles, which actually starts in Troy, Michigan. You get bussed up there.
Troy, Michigan.
That would be a long ride.
Well, I'm sorry, that was the 3,000-mile ride.
Yeah. Some people might take you up on that.
And the bus will be leaving tomorrow morning, so get ready. And then we have the 30-mile ride, and that goes from City Beach out to the Pack River store and back. And it's just a lot of fun. There's a great thing. They have like six different station stops along the way where you get food and drinks and you can rest and everything. And it's a beautiful ride, and it's a very friendly ride. I mean, people have a good time. And last year, it was funny. There was this one guy that showed up, and he had like this 50-pound street bike with saddlebags on it. And I mean,
he's wearing cargo shorts. And yeah. I mean, he was not like your typical rider. You know?
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't a lean person, like much like myself.
Uh-huh. And I figured that he really did get chafed.
I think so. I think there was some chafe going on there.
On the radio.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
I'm very sleek. But anyway, or aerodynamic, whatever I call it. So this guy, he was the last person to finish. I mean, and it took him like 13 hours or something, because he did the whole 150.
Oh, my.
And he came in, and all the other riders are on the lawn down at Trinity and stuff. And so he comes in, and he has this bicycle, and it was like half the guys got up, and they went around and go, You rode this 150 miles. They couldn't believe it that he did it, and he was still alive, mm-hmm. and yeah. then he finished it, but he did.
We let him order whatever he wanted off the menu, because the food was already put away.
It was all gone.
We also bought him a beer or two, I think, too, because he deserved it for sure. That was amazing.
Well, a 150-mile ride is really pushing it for most mortal humans. Oh, yeah. But the shorter rides, the 80-mile ride and the 30-mile ride, you know, a lot of people can really take part in that. Yeah. You don't have to be an elite biker. And of course, the whole idea is to get pledges and raise money for the cause. And the cause
is autism, and we help to work on autism by contributing the money to the Lake Pendere School District. And over the past 3 years, we've given the school district $110,000, and that money is used to train the special education staff and to give them new tools for dealing with autism. I don't know if there's a cure, perhaps, but there are things that you can do that make a life better for an autistic child and their families. And the Reader just had a three-week series on families with autistic children here locally, which was really good. So, so we're supporting the school with that. So we've raised a lot of money, I mean, far beyond our expectations, certainly, and we want to to keep that going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we have already have about 160 riders signed up, and people can sign up by going, like Pierce said, to chafe150.org and mm-hmm. sign up for that ride. And, you know, we it's a mixture of locals and people from out of town. People come a long way to participate in this ride because it is absolutely beautiful. I think they call it a Gran Fondo.
Yes.
The most beautiful Gran Fondo around.
Mm-hmm. It is a beautiful ride.
It sounds like a cheese dip.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Is anyone in here participating in that ride this year?
We're working it. Yeah, we work the registration.
And I'm helping at an aid station, mm-hmm. rest stop.
Yeah, I would like to. I mean, I would do the 30 ride. I've done the 30 ride up in Kootenai River Ride, and you know, I want to tell people that I'm not a big bike rider, and I did that, and it wasn't a hard thing. So if you want to ride 30, 30 miles, you can totally do it. Mm-hmm. You should sign up.
Mm-hmm. It's a good personal challenge.
Yes,
even if you're not a big bike rider, it's a good personal challenge.
Yeah,
and it supports. It's relatively flat.
Yes. And
the 30 is a beautiful route as well.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it goes out in the
and you don't have to have a major road bike to do the 30. You can do it on a mountain bike or, just a whatever cruiser. Mm-hmm. We had a little girl who was 8 years old last year do it with her mom. And she was just on a little bike, her little girly bike, and she was so cute. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have another big event coming, a fundraising dinner. It's to celebrate your 50th anniversary. Please tell us about that.
Well, I'll tell you about that, because one thing that Steve mentioned in the very beginning that's really true is that Rotarians are fun. I mean, we like to have fun, and our friendships are really important. And we want people to know that, and we want people to join in. So everyone's invited to Rotary's 50th birthday party. And if you want to go, it is on May 14th at Tango Cafe. I guess they call it the Sandpoint Center. Yeah. And we're going to have this Swing Street Band combo with Maria Larson singing. It's just going to be great. There'll be some retrospective fun photos and videos. And I think there's going to be a dessert auction. Yeah. There'll be a wonderful dinner catered by Tango. And if you want to go, just go to email sandpointrotary@gmail.com. And just say, give us your name, phone number, and whether you want beef, salmon, or a portobello. Your choice.
And the number of people.
And the number of people, of course. And it's affordable, too. It's $50 to go, which is pretty good for a nice meal and a wonderful cause. So, email sandpointrotary@gmail.com and let us know that you want to come to the party with the Rotarians.
But don't take too long, because there is a room limit, right?
That's true. Yes, please do it soon.
And we need to have your RSVP by Monday at the latest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Coming Monday. Okay. And this might be interesting for people too that think that, hey, maybe I want to join Rotary. Come check out and see who is a Rotarian, because sometimes you don't know. Your friends and neighbors could be Rotarians and you may not know it. And check it out.
Unfortunately, Rotary has been pretty low key in terms of crowing about what
That's
they
true.
Do.
That's true. We don't.
And as a consequence, I have people say, well, what's Rotary?
Right.
They can see at the edge of town, mm-hmm. the Rotarian cog,
yes.
But they don't know, well, mm-hmm. it's some type of, it's like, it's with lions and tigers and,
and we, yeah, and bears
and elks and, no.
No, but we meet once a week. We meet on Wednesdays at noon. The Pondere Club meets at 7 a.m. That's a reason why I am not a member of that club, but a lot of people who are early birds are.
And that's on Tuesdays.
And that's on Tuesdays.
At Tango.
Yeah, at Tango. And but you do have to be sponsored to be a Rotarian by someone who is in the club, who kind of sticks up and says, hey, I nominate this person to be a member. But people can certainly indicate their interest and get vetted that way if they want to do that.
And Rotarians are expected to be engaged, I presume.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So you want them to be attending, make the commitment to attend the weekly meeting?
And if they don't, they can be kicked out of the group, because there is a requirement for that commitment.
Mm-hmm. Right. But if you're not there, you still have to pay. So it's kind of like our best fundraiser is when people don't show up. And of course, there's times when people take leaves of absences. Those are completely okay. You can take a leave of absence if you know you're going to be out of town, or if there's illness or whatever kind of things come up in your life.
But if you do miss a meeting, you can make up that meeting. So...
Yeah, that's true.
Funny story from my aspect is I was on the island of Bonaire in the Caribbean, and I knew I was going to miss a Rotary meeting in Sandpoint. So I went to the local Rotary meeting in Bonaire, which is in the Dutch Antilles, and I expected them to speak Dutch or I didn't know what. It was all in English. They used dollars. Of course, the price was a little bit higher there, $35 per person.
Mm. Wow.
For the Rotary meeting. And, and I brought my wife and daughter. Oh, jeez.
You took one for the Rotary team on that one.
Share one lunch.
Yeah. And they said, oh, by the way, you need to pay $5 for raffle tickets each.
Wow. So in addition to participating that way, you expect your members to also get engaged in the individual projects, like
right.
like the CHAFE. Your right. members are going to be out doing a lot of work for that event, I presume.
Right, and we also have a lot of hands-on projects. And once again, with collaboration, like last year, we've worked with Habitat for Humanity for a long time in the homes they're building. So last year, we had, I think, 12 Rotarians went out and did framing one day. And Tom Harville, who's the president of Habitat for Here, said it was the most productive run that they'd had in a long time. He was really amazed. And in that same project, so this year, so the club donated money to Habitat, and then we also had people go out. So this year, they need to put a fence up around that property because it backs up to a culvert, and the people that live there now have children. So the Presbyterian Church has raised about $2,500, mm-hmm. and Rotary's giving them another $500 because they need $3,000 just for the materials and supplies to build it. And we'll probably give some hands-on work with that.
Your members will be out there actually
right.
digging post holes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, mm-hmm. yeah, exactly. Now, another thing that we're in at the high school, Sandpoint High School, we have an Interact Club. And Interact is the high school version of Rotary. And they're celebrating their fifth year this year. They've been around for 5 years. And they're a really good group. They're not a huge group. We probably have 15 to 20 members in there. But they also, part of their mandate, we tell them we need to have a local project and then a international project. And so for their local project, they work the Cancer Cares or Community Cancer Services dinner that Pondere puts on. They worked at that. The flowers for the hospice. Sandpoint Hospice, I think it's Sandpoint Hospice. They sell the roses and things like that. So they do several of those deals. And then for their international project, it was to help do cataract surgeries in Ethiopia. People in Ethiopia, young people in their 20s, they'll go completely blind because they get cataracts. There's, I don't know exactly what the problem is. So it costs $50 to do an eye. So what they did, they raised $800 at the high school. And when we had our district assembly a few months ago, they actually went down and they gave the money, a check to the doctor that goes to Ethiopia to do these surgeries and stuff. And he goes, well, you've just given 16 people sight.
16 people sight, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, which is amazing. A pretty big deal. And the kids were really excited about that. That was
that's, a great idea. That's life-changing for those people. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was so interesting is we had shown them these different things that were kind of out there. And so in my thought, you said, oh, you give someone thought. So now they're back of their productive member of society, which they will be. Well, the thing they read, they said it when you have someone blind in the family, it actually ties up a second person because someone needs to take care of that blind person. And usually it's a child. So they said, well, we want to do this so the kids can be kids and go to school. And it was just such a different perspective from what I was thinking. I thought it was great. And that's the fun part about Interact and the kids at the high school because they're very smart. And it's good to see those different perspectives.
And there's a number of international students that come to Sandpoint High School every year and are part of the student body. And the Interact Club are kind of their official hosts, for those international kids. They do a lot of fun things with them and kind of show them the ropes when they first get to town. And so that's another nice thing. And it's kind of interesting. Some of the service clubs in town have these, junior type clubs. Like I think Key Club is the junior Kiwanis, and then we have the Interact Club. And those kids, they just hosted us yesterday. Actually, we had our meeting instead of at Tango. We had our meeting at the high school and sat in the classroom and ate lunch and heard about everything that they had done this past year. And it was really impressive.
Yeah.
Well, we are running low on time. Did we forget to mention anything? Yes.
Well, if I just finish up, for the dinner, we kind of came up with a theme for it. Mm-hmm. And the theme is 50 years and we've only just begun because we don't rest on our laurels. Say, we did all this stuff. We're saying, what are we going to do tomorrow? What's going to come up and what can we continue to serve the community and the people that live here. That's that's why we do it.
Looking forward to another 50 years, you think?
Oh, I certainly hope so.
I'm going to be here. I know that. Come on, guys.
I might be here in a jar.
I'll bring you to the party.
Here's you're going to earn that.
Yeah. Oh. Steve had to get at least one pun in.
Oh, my goodness.
That was quite a pun. And on that note, maybe we should bid you guys good morning and thank you for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
I'm gonna maybe play a quick musical number while we show you guys out, and then we'll be back to Chris and I will be back to talk about what's coming up this weekend. There's one big event that I want to make sure we mention. So
The Little Smokies.
The Little Smokies.
Don't miss it. Those guys are so good. Yeah. Don't miss it. They're awesome.
That's exactly right. Yeah. We'll be right back. Thank you guys for coming in.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is the KRFY Morning Show. That was a little Cinco de Mayo music for you by Arturo Sandoval as we escorted the Rotary out the door. And thanks to them for coming in once more. Chris, have you ever done the Chafe 150?
I've done the Chafe, the half Chafe, actually.
You've done the 80.
I've done the 80 mile for a few times. Yeah, it's a gorgeous ride.
Yeah.
And I'm not a huge biker. You definitely want to get in shape for that. So folks are listening out there right now, they're interested in this, I suggest they get out on their bikes and, you know, a couple times a week, do some longer training rides if they want to bite off the 80 mile ride. Although the 30 mile ride, it would be a pretty easy ride for anyone, even if they're really not doing a lot of biking.
I'm thinking of, I was trying to decide between the 30 and the 80. I think I'm just going to go with the 30 this year.
Let me recommend.
I'm a little heavier than I was last year.
Well, doing the 80 is great. It's a great experience, but you definitely want to try to knock off at least some 30 to 50 mile rides in advance of that. Yeah.
Right. I think I did a long ride last summer at one point, but not. Well, anyway.
let's throw out another shout there. Again, yes. It's Idaho Gives Day, and there are a number of local nonprofits that are going to benefit from that if you go to idahogives.org. Also, there are a couple Idaho Gives events happening. One is at the IPA, Idaho Poor Authority, from 4 to p.m., 4 to 8 p.m. tonight. That's benefiting Seoul. And there's also one at the Memorial Community Center in Hope, from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. And there's also a Cinco de Mayo event happening at Trinity. It's for Leadership Sandpoint. That's an arm of the chamber. It's specifically going to raise money for the Sandpoint Teen Center, which is in need right now of some funding to help secure that organization. That's at Trinity. It's shortly after work. I don't have the exact time. I think it's around 5:30. That's the Cinco de Mayo event there that would help Leadership Sandpoint and the Sandpoint Teen Center.
And the Teen Center. What are you doing tomorrow night, Chris? Any plans?
Tomorrow night, I'm going to the best concert in town.
That's right.
The hot ticket here in town.
Yeah, the only thing worth seeing on Friday night in our listening radius, I think.
We say that with some bias.
Okay. I suppose so, yeah. For the benefit of KRFY, but it's really for the benefit of the audience, I think, because it's going to be a great concert with the Little Smokies, Doug Bond and Terry Ludeker opening the performance. The doors are at 6:30, with the show starts at 7:30. If you've been listening to KRFY, you are now hopefully familiar with the Little Smokies. We've been playing them frequently this last week. I do have some tickets to give away today, and I'd like to try something new, and that is I'm going to, in the next hour, between 9 and 10, I'm going to play a song by the Little Smokies. And the first caller, when you hear the Little Smokies come on, if you can identify it as the Little Smokies and you call me up, you get a pair of tickets to the Little Smokies. So stay tuned for at least one more hour to Otto's Eclectic Mix. Listen for the Little Smokies. And you can get a pair of tickets, yours absolutely free, a $30 value, absolutely free.
And they are a hot newgrass / bluegrass band. So if you want a little hint on what to be listening for, listen to some, what would it be, some hot banjo or fiddle playing.
Yeah, it is.
It's probably going to be the Little Smokies.
And it probably will be the Little Smokies when you hear that. And it will be some great vocals, too. Mm-hmm. Lyrics, vocals. They're quite a band. They won the Telluride Bluegrass Festival just this past year.
Right. And I think they mix it up as well. They bring in some other styles.
Yeah. They do. Mm-hmm. We are right at the top of the hour. There are other things going on. Free First Saturday on Saturday. KSAD Walk for a Cure is also on Saturday at 1 p.m. And there's a pancake breakfast on Mother's Day hosted by Boy Scout Troop 111 at the Elks Lodge. Then it's Global Women's Cycling Day as well. You can find all of this and more on sandpointonline.com. Right now it's time for Bird Note, and then stay tuned for Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long.
All right. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you, everybody. Chris. Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show.